Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
7:15 now. It'll be a beautiful day. Plenty of sunshine. Highs of 78, 79 tomorrow. No mention of rain, really, until Friday as a cold front makes its way here. 20% chance for showers then with highs near 80. But then looking ahead to the weekend, Saturday, the front makes its way through completely. And high temperatures could be 68. Then that night into Sunday morning, 42 for a low on the North Shore. 48 for a low on the South Shore, and then for Sunday tailgating against the Panthers, nothing but sunshine, highs of 63. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll is asking you, do you think Sunday's game, Saints versus Carolina, is going to be a blowout or a tight one? Josh Stockley now joins us, professor of political science at ULM, talk about the election over the weekend, and not just the big one, but the elections for the seats that were open in the House and Senate. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm well, sir. Josh Stockley, I don't know if I said that, professor of political science at ULM. What about the legislative races in terms of House and Senate? Who gained, who lost?
Well, the Republican Party certainly gained for the state legislature here in Louisiana. John Bel Edwards, though being reelected, is going to have a very difficult task ahead of him in his next 4 years, because he will have a legislature that will have the ability to possibly override some vetoes. So if we get to some tough fiscal issues again, John Bell is going to find it much, much more difficult to get his agenda passed.
So the Republicans don't have a supermajority, right? So they would have to get some defections from the Democrats, or I don't know how many independents there are. Go ahead.
There are the supermajority does exist for Republicans. So they certainly have a significant upper hand on the governor in the state legislature.
But that's in the Senate, not the House, right?
Correct. That's the Senate, the House. Sorry for the lack of clarification.
All right. So as it relates to a veto, would they be able to put together the votes for that?
Depending on the issue? Yeah, certainly. There have been Democrats that occasionally will vote with Republicans. There are plenty of times in the state legislature when partisanship just doesn't matter. There will be a solid block in the House. Primarily your black Democrats that will very consistently support Governor Edwards.
So what are we looking at in terms of pressing legislation and in terms of a floor fight, or not necessarily a floor fight, but a fight between a legislature and a governor?
Well, what the governor, more so than he has had in the past, though he has been very diligent about this in the past, the governor is going to and his staff will have to work harder at securing agreements on legislation much earlier in the legislative process. His staff is going to have to work closely with key committees and key legislators to make sure that the versions he wants to see, or the versions he's amenable to, are those specifics are ironed out very, very, very clearly. The last thing the governor wants is to see his legislation or things he doesn't like vetoed and overridden on him.
Does it take only one veto for the governor to lose a significant amount of power?
Yeah, I mean, it is a very, very rare thing to do. So not real actual constitutional power, but yeah, his reputation, his clout will certainly take a hit if that were to occur.
It seems like once it happens, then it would maybe set the way for the second one to happen, or a third if it comes to that?
I would expect the Republican Party in Louisiana to be emboldened.
Yeah.
And to the point of creating legislation that they know he's not going to sign, and they'll challenge him on it anyway.
All right, we're going to pick it up here when we come back. Josh Stockley is our guest, professor of political science at ULM. We're going to talk about redistricting when we come back as a result of the Senate and of the census, rather, and what this election could mean as it relates to that. 7:20, time for traffic now, WWL. 7:25, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking about the elections over the weekend. And what happened in the House and the Senate and the possibility of what Governor Edwards is trying to get through or gets through being vetoed. Let's talk about Josh Stockley, professor of political science at ULM, about redistricting, the census, what it says about voting districts for people that missed that day in civics. Maybe start with the basics and then move on.
Sure. In the state of Louisiana, we have a legislative redistricting process, meaning that the state legislature, in the process of the normal bill-making process, creates our legislative districts. They historically will start in one of the committees. Either the House will generally draw its districts and start in its committee. The Senate will draw its districts and start in its committees. Congressional districts can go either way. They must go through both chambers in the same version, and if that happens, they get to go to the governor for either his signature or veto. If they can't agree within a certain period of time, then the courts in Louisiana have some say on the process.
What kind of time frame are you looking, or are we looking at as far as this process goes?
Well, last year, 10 years ago, when we went through redistricting, Louisiana actually went through a very, very smooth process. They created their districts in a special session to occur prior to the regular session. And that special session, it was a 30-day session, and they hammered out everything they needed to regarding our congressional districts. And that was a hard thing to do because we lost a congressional district the last time around. So they got their work done in 30 days. There were no vetoes, and the Justice Department, for the first time in Louisiana history, they pre-cleared all of our districts without objections. So last time, we did pretty well. I'll compliment Louisiana.
So for people that think it's going to wind up in court, not necessarily, because all of this has to be cleared by the Justice Department.
In the past, it had to be cleared by the Justice Department. Since the last time that we went through redistricting, there was a Supreme Court decision regarding the Voting Rights Act, and a portion of the Voting Rights Act was struck down. So there is a little bit of legal uncertainty, and we may not have to have Justice Department preclearance in the next cycle.
But if that's the case, then surely somebody's not going to be happy, right? I mean,
it's still the legislative process, so, you know, no one's completely happy. But the hope, I think, for this group is that there have not been significant population shifts such that districts have to be redrawn in a wholesale fashion. That population has perhaps been steady enough across the state that the differences are only at the margins. For example, most likely we are not losing a congressional district. So our district, current district boundaries will probably roughly remain intact with some elongations with your northern districts, because that's the area of the state that's lost population relative to the south.
But it's all based on census data, right? So I don't understand how there'd be a lot of room for manipulation on that.
There's any time you got a map and a pen, you can create problems. You know.
I guess you could ask Amerigo Vespucci about that, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the history of conflict is the history of somebody put the line on the map in the wrong place. We have a couple of rules we certainly have to follow. Our populations have to be equal. And by equal, the Supreme Court says at the congressional level, we're talking within 1,000 votes between, you know, each of these congressional districts. So they must be equal districts. They must be contiguous. you've got to be somewhat compact, but you can stretch them a bit. So there will be some rules that will have to be followed. But again, maybe I'm optimistic or naive, but I just don't see this being a more contentious process than it was last time.
Josh, I appreciate your time. I really do. Remember, pen and a map. That's where the power is. We take a break right now for WWL First News with Dave Cohen.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.